Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I am Greg Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at greatcrawfordbasketball.blogspot.com. But the real star of this show is Richard Lucas, the best basketball analyst in the country. I think he's just terrific. And, of course, he is the best State Farm insurance owner in the world. I asked him about a year ago how far State Farm went around the world. And also, best father, best dad, best center at Oregon since Blair Rasmussen. He played there 4 years. He was terrific, undersized, and he played for a coach that was very good, and I'm going to ask him about that coach tonight, Don Monson. So anyway, let's go to Richard. Richard, how are you tonight, and how was Don Monson to play for?
Well, good evening. I'm glad to be with you again, of course. This is very fun for me. Coach Monson, Coach Monson really inside was a softie. He may have been really rough and gruff and kind of just growled at most people, but we as players really enjoyed playing for him simply because there was no games with him. You knew exactly where you stood. There was never any, passive aggressiveness. It was just aggressiveness. And so it was a, and the other thing, too, is for me personally, I was a 3-year starter, so he liked my style, which was never flashy, never anything that people, in today's world would ever get on a YouTube loop or anything like that. But at the end of the day, I just got the job done.
Very good. Very well said. And speaking of getting the job done, how exciting is it for you, Richard, to have a son playing in the NCAA tournament, Landon Lucas, on a team that basically could win it all? The Kansas Jayhawks, who have an excellent coach and a coach that knows how. I think a coach really, Richard, and disagree with me if you think so, I think a coach really knows how to prepare for the postseason. I think you got to have a little seasoning there to do that properly.
Well, yeah, a la the San Antonio Spurs, you realize that, the regular season has merits to it, of course. They won their 11th straight Big 12 championship in a row, which is just fantastic, and nearly catching UCLA. But really, he is his whole bread and butter and what he is trying to gear for and what – he's being judged on is postseason. People almost forget about the 11 straight, and they talk about, Northern Iowa or Stanford last year, or any number of the teams that they've lost to along the way in the, first, second, or whatever, how many rounds. So it's, I really enjoy the fact, or I like the fact that he does try to get the kids ready for this. It's a new season. Speaking with Landon, he's a master motivator. And what he's been doing all week long with this New Mexico State, which rightfully so, because this team is not going to just roll the ball out and just overwhelm anybody. Being Kansas, but he's really pushing and pubbing up their first-round opponent, which is New Mexico State. And he's saying, you guys can lose this game. Even with Kansas across your chest, you can lose this game. And that's what he was saying all during the early part of the week, to get them to practice hard and practice focus, be focused. And then he's probably going to shift that come Thursday, come Friday, and say, listen, you're the better team. You got the better players. This is by far the worst team that you will have played all year. And so just go out there and do what you've been trained to do and get those guys ready to go and get that confidence.
And, of course, we all know you and I could follow the game so closely. New Mexico State is a dangerous team. They got one of the most underrated coaches in the country, Marvin Menzies, And also, I think they've won 15 out of 16. I don't care if you're playing the Washington Generals. That's pretty good.
Yeah. No, that is. And they've got size, which, you know, it's always nice when you've got big guys. They've got upperclassmen. That's always dangerous. You know, that's how these double-digit seeds stay with these the upper seeds a lot of times, because, you know, guys have played together. Guys are battle-tested and in the trenches. So, you know, yes, this is a dangerous game, you know, but, and this is the big but, yet, you know, Kansas should win this by double digits, and you know, they should, you know, probably one of be one of those things where it's kind of semi-close at half, but, you know, Kansas, if they are firing on even, not all cylinders, just, you know, six of the eight, they still should be talent-wise, you know, head and shoulders above New Mexico State. So, but we'll see. It's coming, and that's the beautiful part about March Madness. You never know what's going to happen.
No, you never know what's going to happen. I'm going to talk plenty more about that, but famous part of this this part of that we do with you, this great show every Wednesday night, Richard, and I get a lot of feedback from this. People love this segment. I didn't realize quite there's that many people interested in insurance, but yeah, more power to them.
Yeah, all right. That's what I'm here for.
But we get, they can hardly wait for the insurance question. So tonight I'm going to ask you one that I kind of asked somewhat again before, but it's worth repeating. Richard, what do you do if you get in an accident? When should you call the police? And the police might have a little different version, but what is the rule of thumb, the gold standard for State Farm? What do they want you to do? Whether it's your fault, you don't know whose fault it is, you think it's the other person's fault, or it's the other person's fault clearly. What do you do?
Yeah, good question. And that's, whenever someone does get into an accident, it can be very scary. And so one of the things that we recommend is if you are, you know, in the middle of the road or obviously on the freeway, the first thing to do is to get to safety. Get the cars out of the way, get them on the side of the road, or better yet, you know, follow each other off the off ramp and get to a side street. That way you can be, you don't want to make a bad situation worse by someone getting hurt or injured by cars that are flying by. So that's kind of rule number one. Rule number two is very quickly try to find a witness, a third-party witness that has no skin in the game, so to speak. That's and sometimes people will say, oh, you know what, my wife saw the whole thing. Well, that doesn't count. You know, if there's anybody who is in your car or in the other person's car, that you might as well just, you know, negate those, because those are not going to count as credible witnesses, unfortunately. And so you just need somebody who is a total bystander and ask them, can you speak to an adjuster when that time comes? Would you be willing to just recount what you saw? So I think that's another important part. Now, in regards to the police, you know, there's a lot of bad guys out there. Police got their hands full. They've got a lot of other things that they need to worry about. Minor fender benders where you can, where adults can get out and exchange information and move on. I don't think that you need to consult the police. And so the kind of the rule of thumb into do you call the police or not call the police, I like to look at it as kind of twofold. One, is the car not drivable? So your car has been in an accident so that it's damaged to the point where it can't be moved. I think that's one reason to call. And then the other reason would be, is someone injured? I mean, injured to a point where, you know, an ambulance is called. And then I think you should be calling the police at that point in time. If it's just a real minor fender bender, you know, again, get it off the road, get a witness, exchange information, and I wouldn't worry about the police at that point in time.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Richard, you're the expert. Also, if the other person becomes aggressive, either verbally or physically, you better be calling the police, right?
Yeah. Stay in your car. If somebody gets out and charges you, it is it happens more often than not, unfortunately, that people just, you know, it's one of those things where if you could have had a really bad day, and then all of a sudden you get hit from behind, and you know, it just, people snap sometimes, and it's, you know, there's so many pressures that are out there on folks, and so yeah, people get upset. So yes, if you feel threatened in any way, and we literally have had clients who have called us from the car, you know, after calling the police, of course, and have said, hey, I'm in the car, but this guy is yelling at me through, you know, through the window, and he's, you know, smacking on the window. What do I do? And I'm like, you know, just wait for the police, you know, and if you can't, take pictures of the person, take pictures of the license plates in case they leave, and so you have some evidence.
Very good. Great answers and accurate answers and good information for everyone out there. Richard, you correct me now if I'm wrong about this, and you slap me across the face, the back of the head, the knees, whatever you want to do. I have a feeling if Richard Lucas, who is one of the kindest, most respectful people I've ever met, but he is a fierce competitor. He was fierce competitive on TV. He's on, wants to get it right on this radio station. He wants to be a great State Farm owner. If you had a guy that didn't want to play in the postseason as a senior and you were another senior, would you have that guy up against the wall? Do you agree with the Skia Booker? I don't even think there's two sides to this story. I was ticked when I read it.
What was really surprising to me is how much, and again, it could be just saving face for the public, but you know, even how much the coaching staff and the other players have, you know, have publicly given their stamp of approval to it. I just think it's ridiculous. It's when you are, that's like to me saying, listen, we are in the Army and we are at battle and we are going to war and we are every day, you know, we're practicing hard together. We're blood, sweat, and tears together. We are brothers, you know, in the trenches. And then, you know, right at the end, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to skip this one. You guys go ahead and go in the battle without me. I'm going to sit this one out because, you know, it's over some place where it's kind of hot and I don't really want to be there. You know, I mean, it just, to me, it feels like he's abandoning his team, you know. And you cannot tell me that, you know, I have to get myself prepared for the you know, whatever the excuses are. I mean, I think it's completely ridiculous. And, you know, as a head coach, I wouldn't have stood for it at all. And, again, what can you do? I mean, the kid's a senior, so, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do if he is, you know, adamant about it. But I can tell you one thing. I wouldn't be just saying, you know, oh, shucks, you know, oh, well, and, you know, I support whatever decision he makes. I'd be like, heck no, this is ridiculous. So I agree with you. I didn't like that at all. I felt that it was just very selfish. You know, that team needs him even though they won. But it's still, I just didn't think it was fair.
Well, you know, the other part of it is, Richard, if he wants to advance his career like so many players do, I would think that, you know, you played professionally, you coached. I would think that somebody, some, you know, scout, GM, front office, they're taking a hard look. We don't want anything to do with this guy.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, if he was, it would be different if he was an unbelievable talent. Because, as you know, unbelievable talents get a little more leeway. So if he was a guy who was like, you know, hey, listen, I'm a top five pick. I'm done with this garbage. I want to start getting paid. That kid is probably still going to be just fine. Isaiah Booker, he's got a lot to prove, and that's on the court as well as off the court. And I think by completely abandoning his team when they're trying to get to, trying to continue to play and advance. Even as crappy as the tournament is, he should be there. Now, having said all that, I hate the CBI. I think it's a complete waste of time. And so I think the coach should have said no to it and just given up and just call it good. But once you do accept it, then I think it should have been all of them.
So you're kind of in favor of what Oregon State did, basically.
Yep.
You know, big dance or nothing.
I think that it was, and you and I kind of talked about it last week, and I didn't want them to go. I felt like, you know, either you go to the dance or you go to the NIT, and if you don't, especially Oregon State, because of the fact that's what happened with Craig Robinson.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
were, you know, looking at him like, oh, they won it, and look at how good they are and all that stuff. If I'm, you know, Tinkle, which is exactly what he did, I'm saying, you know what, that's not us. We're better than that. And if we don't do what we need to do on the court to deserve one of those top two tournaments, then we're done for the season. We'll turn in our you know, shoes, and we will start preparing for next year. I would rather have them watching film and preparing for next year than being in something that, to me, it's not worth it to me. And some may say, hey, it's more practice time and all this stuff. I think you have to look at it from a respect. I mean, especially for Oregon State, they're trying to gain respect. Their fan base is not going to respect them if they're going to a CBI.
Well, Richard, I'll take a little different point of view. I'm not taking the other side here. It's just a different point of view. I went to the Pilots game tonight. They took on a CIT game and had a home game, which they have to pay for. One of the problems was they were going to take on another one if they'd have won. They were going to play Northern Arizona Monday night because Northern Arizona beat Grand Canyon tonight. But here's the problem. They lost. They got beat by a good Sacramento State team, I might add. They got beat. So it's kind of interesting in that regard. You take a real chance when you do that.
Yeah, I mean, and for what, though? I mean, it was an extra 2 days of practice, I guess? I mean, maybe a day and a half practice? I mean, it just...
Yeah.
I just don't see anything from it, and it's to me it goes back to, you ever see a situation where a team runs up the score and someone says, hey, you know, you shouldn't run up the score, and the coach says, hey, you know what, if you don't like it, stop us. You know, and so I'm getting around to the fact that if they don't like the results of going to a CBI or a CIT or whatever, win. Beat teams, coaches, schedule better. You know, I mean, we were having all these discussions, even on the Talking Ducks, about all of the different teams that are out there, and like a Colorado State, and you know, and should they be in, and or UCLA, and all that. And then you have to start thinking about coaches, schedule someone. Colorado State, if you look at Colorado State's schedule, even though they only lost 6 games, there wasn't one team, not one, that had a ranking next to their name the entire year, if you look at ESPN's breakdown. And so that's just not acceptable if you're trying to make the NCAA tournament. You have to schedule some out-of-conference games that are going to help you. And so they only lose 6 games, but yet they're, you know, I think they're in the NIT, I believe, so... you know, so anyway, lots of tangents here, I guess. There's lots to talk about.
They are, no problem. Richard, were you happy with the seed that the Oregon Ducks got? And how do you see that game shaping up against Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I thought the seed was just about right for them. And I kind of felt like if they had lost, even in the first round, they would have been double digit. And kind of almost every win kind of moved them up a seed. Until they got to that eighth seed. As far as Oklahoma State, I love that draw. I think that this is, of any of these teams, I think that this is a team that Oregon should absolutely handle from start to finish. Now, don't get me wrong, they are good, and they've got 5 wins against top 25 teams, and They've got two. I call it a two-headed monster because they've got two guys, Phil Forte and LeBryant Nash, who are really, really good. And one, you know, wing and one guard. And so if Oregon's not hitting shots and not getting out in transition, they could very well lose. But I think there is no monster inside. There's no 6'10", 6'11", just absolute beast that they have to contend with, and that bodes well for the Ducks. Now, having said that, if they do get past them in that first round, I don't know about I don't know about Wisconsin. That's a little different there. So
it will be a fun game to play Wisconsin, though. You got to meet somebody good sometime in these things, so it could be real interesting.
Well, yeah, the thing about it, which is a little bit daunting, is the fact that, you know, that they were down by 30 against Arizona in the Pac-12 championship. And if you look at Arizona's lineup or their big guys, they start a 7-footer, a 6'9", and a 6'7". Well, Wisconsin has a 7-footer, a 6'9", and a 6'7" kid who's 6'7", like 250. They're big, and when teams are big across the front line like that and good, it just gives the Ducks fits, just absolute fits. So it'll be fun, no question. In both games, it's like anything. You know, teams have to just stay true to their identity, and their identity is turning people over, transition, limiting to one shot, get out, and guys just have the absolute green light. And if Joe Young is hitting and Cook is hitting the mid-range and Bassett is hitting, you know, three-pointers, Jordan Bell is blocking shots, they can run with most teams in the country.
Richard, we've got about 2 minutes left, so real quickly, is Kentucky, and this is a tough question for you, a little bit unfair, you know, is Kentucky beatable? And number two, should UCLA be in there?
No for UCLA. I would have taken Temple before UCLA. Is Kentucky beatable? I just don't think so. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who has the – I mean, Wisconsin, Arizona, those are the two that may have a chance. But I just don't see it. Kentucky's just too good. They have too many – they're good in so many facets. They'd have to completely look the other direction almost in order for them to lose.
Who do they play then?
In the championship?
In the championship game, yes.
I say Arizona makes it.
Okay. And remember, you know, Richard, isn't it sort of weird that even, you know, some really – you know, respected basketball writers were saying that Utah is going to be a Final Four team. They were saying this in January, and I tout them. You know, I'm not going to back away from it, but I didn't say Final Four team, and everybody was saying there's no way Arizona could beat Utah in Salt Lake City. They went in and handled them. Now Arizona's playing some of the best basketball in the country.
Well, that's the thing, is that who can beat Kentucky? I think that Arizona – And Wisconsin are the two that have the best chance because of their size.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Richard, great job. Best to Landon this week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday night on the Lucas and Crawford B-Ball Show every Wednesday night at 10 Pacific Daylight Time. Great job per usual tonight. And how does someone get a hold of you at State Farm Insurance, which you own out on the historic Lombard Street?
Yes, you can give me a call at 503-200-5545, and we can talk about insurance or, of course, sports.
Very good. That's Richard Lucas. I'm Greg Crawford. Everybody make your free throws, and we'll be back next Wednesday night. Good night.
All right. Good night.